by a grant from the Art Mart in the Lincoln Square Mall, Urbana. The Art Mart is pleased to support public radio in East Central Illinois. Programming on WILL AM is made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Learn about Krannert Center's 2004-2005 performance season with guest artists Dan Zanes, Scottish fiddler Bonnie Rideout, and hip-hop dance artist Rennie Harris by visiting KrannertCenter.com or stopping by to pick up a season brochure. AM 580 thanks Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors for its support of Focus 580. Overhead Doors is pleased to support public radio in Central Illinois on behalf of its customers and business associates.
Good morning. This is Focus 580, our morning telephone talk show. My name is Jack Brighton, sitting in for your regular host, David Inge. Very glad you could listen today. During this hour of the show, we will take your questions on home improvement, something we do once a month on the show, always on the third Monday of each month at 10 o'clock with Hank Spies of the Spies Home Inspection Service. He has seen many, many problems with houses and knows a lot about how to deal with them. And the point of the show is to allow you to get access to Hank's experience. If you would like to ask your questions about home maintenance, all you have to do is give us a call. The number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line anywhere you hear us around the Midwest here, 800-222-9455. If you're listening online, that number is also good anywhere in the United States, continental U.S., I should say. Again, the number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-WILL. Toll-free elsewhere, 800-222-WILL. And to Hank Spies, good morning once again.
Good morning. Good to be back.
It's great to have you here always. We actually have a couple callers already lined up. Want to talk
with
them?
Let's go.
Okay. First up, someone here in the University of Illinois area on line number one. Good morning.
Hi, Frank. I just recently had my garage roof replaced, and I think they did an okay job, but it concerns me that the stuff that's on the top layer is, if you go up there when it's a warm day, it's very, very soft. Is that what's supposed to be on the top?
I'm sorry. Run this passage. What? You had it reshingled.
Well, it wasn't shingled at all.
Re-roofed. Okay.
It's just the flat car stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very soft. If I walk up there,
yes,
on a warm day, I can leave footprints in it.
Stay off. It's supposed to be that way.
It's supposed to be that way.
Right.
Okay. All right, that's all I need. Thank you.
That's good to know. Always reassuring that a problem that you think might be a problem, but it's actually the way it's supposed to be. It's always good to hear that. It sounds like a flat roof, which are always much more difficult to deal with than a pitched roof.
Yes. Flat roofs are much higher maintenance than sloped roofs. Mm.
Just because the water will just stay there.
That's right. It doesn't run off.
Yeah.
Gravity works if you give it a chance.
Certainly works around my house. Okay, well, we have several callers, and we'll go next to someone in Urbana, line number two. Good morning.
Yes, I am wondering about the attic fan. I've heard you talk about how they're so great, but I have a ranch-style house. Will it do any good?
Well, okay, there are two different kinds of attic fans. One just ventilates the attic. The other is in the attic, and it ventilates the entire house by pulling air up into the attic and blowing it out the attic vents. Now, which kind do you have in mind?
The second. The one to cool. I'm looking to cool the house.
All right. It will bring in outside air. Now, please remember, this is the Midwest. Our outside air is hot, humid, and loaded with pollen. If that's what you want in your house, fine, turn it on. Otherwise, keep the windows shut and run the air conditioning. It all depends upon how much of a problem you have with allergies. When my kids were small, I could figure that I could run that fan for 4 hours and doctor for a week, just from all the crud that was pulled into the house. On the few days when it is cool enough and dry enough that you want that air in the house, great. But there aren't very many of those days in Central Illinois.
But having just ceiling fans in bedrooms is probably just as effective in terms of cooling and circulating air?
Probably so, yes. And as I say, I really like to keep that nasty stuff out. Because when you run that attic fan and pull in all through the windows, you're pulling in every piece of pollen within a block.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks so much for the call. It's a very interesting issue because, yeah, you think you can just, you know, or even at night, you know, pull in some cool air into the house.
Well, that's right. But what you're pulling in is a lot of humidity, which your air conditioner spends all the next day trying to get back out again.
Mm-hmm.
So generally speaking, you're better off not bringing in the outside air. As I say, there are a few days during summer when, yes, it's appropriate. Mm-hmm. But they are darn few and far between.
So watch the humidity level, you know, pay attention to
right.
the weather. And
I mean, if you could see the water, you'd see it pouring in through the windows.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, half of what an air conditioner does in this climate is dehumidify.
Right.
And we don't want to bring the water in so that it's absorbed and adsorbed into all the furnishings and carpeting and all this sort of thing.
Ah, you used the word adsorb, didn't you?
Yes.
Most people don't know the meaning of that word. That adsorb is the absorption of water around the outside of particles, isn't it?
Yeah, and it actually adsorb is a matter of it accumulating on the surface and not being absorbed into the surface.
But, wow.
And you can get fully as much adsorption as you do absorption in keeping humidity in your house.
Oh, good. Well, there's both a home maintenance tip and an English lesson. So,
okay
we'll go next to listener on line number 4 in Effingham. Good morning.
Hey, Hank, I got two issues here. I bought an old farmhouse, which I want to refurbish. And number one, it's got, we want to put a metal roof on. It's got an old roof on there that does have some leakage problems, and it has shake shingles on the bottom. Is there any problem with putting a metal roof over that roof without removing it? Second issue, it's got termites. So I want your opinion on both of those things.
Well, okay, there's no problem with the metal roof, assuming that there's no more than one layer of roofing on there. I'd never like to see a third layer of roof go on.
Okay.
Metal is less of a problem in that it's not as heavy as
right.
any of the other things, but they're also awful noisy during hailstorms and rainstorms. So that's fine. Now, termites. Unfortunately, the chemicals that really worked on termites have been banned by the EPA, so we are reduced to two other options. One is to use chemicals such as Dursban, which are effective for, 3 to 7 years, something like that. It is a matter of soil poisoning. You
okay.
inject it in the soil and so on. One of the systems that has grown in favor is a bait system whereby they put stakes in the ground around the house and then check them every month or so to see if the termites have gotten into them. And if they have, they replace that stake with a bait that has a growth hormone in it. And being an insect, a termite must shed its shell periodically in order to grow. And this growth hormone keeps them from shedding their shell. And theoretically, this gets all hauled back into the termite colony and exterminates the colony within 6 months. Results have been mixed.
Okay.
Sometimes it seems to work, sometimes it doesn't.
What about a combination of Dursban and that chemical?
That is probably your best bet at this point.
I'm a twig furniture builder, and I have a stock of Dursban because I get powder post beetles, and I don't like to use it, and I found another chemical that works better now. So I have an old stock of Dursban.
Okay.
Should I have my pest control applier apply both
chemicals? I probably would.
Okay.
I probably would.
Now, Lorsban is essentially the same as Dursban. Is it? It's still available, isn't it?
I believe it is. Yes,
okay.
The one that really worked isn't the it's the old federal approach to anything. If it's bad someplace, it's bad every place.
Right.
And we had some problem with it leaching into the groundwater
uh-huh.
in sandy and gravelly soils. It was never a problem in clay soil, such as we have here. But
okay.
Chlordane has been known to get into the groundwater, and so therefore it's banned every place.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Hank.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, and good luck. We have several callers waiting, and we'll go next to someone in Bloomington, Illinois, on line number 1. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Hi, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. My question has to do with my basement. I have a house that was built in 1904, and when we got it a few years ago, the basement was completely unfinished, and the brick, it was basically brick on the floor, brick on the walls. There were gaps in between the bricks. You could almost poke your finger all the way through. So my wife and I have gone through and remortared everything, and we've put one layer of mortar over it last summer when it was warm, and this summer we're going to put another layer, but we've noticed that when it's rained or if it's moist outside, we've never had standing water, but we have moisture spots that appear on the wall, and we were wondering, once we get this second layer of mortar on, because we're going to make this a smooth layer, what you would recommend in terms of, we'd like to maybe paint the mortar to lighten up the basement, because it's not really livable space, but we're wanting to use something that might prevent some of the moisture from coming through.
Well, there are a number of products on the market that are intended as moisture barrier paints. However, I think you start with doing some regrading around the outside of the house so that there is a slope away from the foundation all the way around. And
okay.
Be sure you have gutters on and extensions that extend at least 5 feet from the foundation to a point where the water continues to run away. Most of the time that we have seepage through a basement wall, it's water off your own roof.
Oh, interesting. So go ahead and just like use soil and just increase the grade on the outside
that's,
of the house.
That's right. We should have 6 inches of slope in the first 10 feet going away all the way around the house, and then be sure that you get downspouts at least 5 feet from the foundation.
Downspouts. And is there any particular, like, I guess in terms of they just have general chemicals at home build-it places and stuff where it's a combination of, like, a lighter-colored pigment paint and also a sealer that...
There are a half a dozen brands of water-retardant paints. I'm a little concerned in the way you did the little tuck pointing, mortar repair,
mm-hmm.
and that is, I presume you probably use standard mortar.
Actually, we got a recommendation from someone. There's like an old house society in our neighborhood of a certain type of mortar, because we had to do our chimney was in really bad shape, and they recommended a special kind because the gaps between the previous mortar had gone all the way in so deep. So
yeah.
I can't. That
you
was two summers
you
ago.
You used a type O mortar, probably.
Yeah, that's what it was, actually, yeah, because okay. they said you just can't use standard mortar for when you're filling in the gaps between the bricks.
Well, not an old brick.
Or not? Yeah, old brick, yeah.
Yeah. You can use standard mortar on anything built since probably 1950, but anything older than that, there's a type O mortar, and sometimes the 100-year-old stuff, there's even a softer version that you virtually have to mix yourself
okay.
to use with that.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the info.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. So talk about that. What's the difference between 100-year-old brick versus, and why would you use type O mortar? What's the difference?
The difference is strength. If we use a... if we have an existing brick wall and the inner parts of the brick are resting on old, softer, weaker mortar, and you go and fill the cracks with very high-strength mortar, you can actually crack the surface off the brick as the weight settles.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to have mortar that's about the same strength as what it originally was. The normal type of mortar now is type N. There is a special type O, which, generally speaking, we use on walls from the 1920s to the 1950s. Then if you have walls older than that, I have a formula for mixing up mortar that's even softer than the type O to maintain these old bricks.
Very interesting. Okay. Well, a couple callers waiting. Let me just mention again, we're talking with Hank Spies of the Spies Home Inspection Service here in Champaign-Urbana, taking your questions on home maintenance, home improvement. Any questions you have about fixing things around your house or making it better, those are welcome. All you have to do is call us around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll free elsewhere, 800-222-9455. Next up, a listener in Urbana on line number 3. Good morning.
Good morning. My question is a very general plumbing question. My husband and I live in a house in the Carl Park area, and it's built in 1917. We've been here about 4 years. And the previous owners installed a new tub and a tub surround in the bathroom. And I suspect that something wasn't sealed correctly. I've been noticing since we've been here a dark spot on the linoleum floor, and it's grown since we've been here. And it seems to be spreading now to the woodwork. And the woodwork's getting soft and the paint's flaking off, and it looks like it's rotting out.
Is this next to the tub or next to the toilet?
It's right next to the tub. It's on the end of the tub that contains the plumbing, the shower head and so forth. And I suspect that maybe it was coming directly out of the tub, so I improved the shower curtain and I caulked the tubs around, and that didn't seem to do anything.
Well, it very well might be leaking in the piping in the wall.
Yeah, no, here's really the problem. I don't know how to get to it because there's no cutaway in the wall.
Right.
And the other alternative is taking the tubs around out, and I'm really kind of loath to do either.
What's on the other side of the wall from the tubs around?
It's just the hallway, so it's really easy to get to. But I don't know if it's because of the age of the house. I think it's lath and plaster.
Well, probably is. You probably want to put a door there, a removable panel there.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds almost as though there is a problem there.
So the easiest way to get to it would be through the wall?
Yes.
Okay.
There is a shower there, I assume.
Yeah.
Okay. The odds are that that house was built without a shower.
Right.
And that somebody put it in later.
Yes.
Now, one of the problems that happens is that we have old galvanized steel piping, and somebody puts in the shower and they say, well, gee, I don't want to monkey with that. I'll use copper. All right. There is a special connector to be used between copper pipe and galvanized pipe.
Okay.
If you do not use that, you will get corrosion on the galvanized pipe, and you will eventually get a leak.
So you set up a galvanic cell right there.
That's right.
Okay.
That's it exactly. If you remember your high school chemistry, you take a piece of zinc, and the coating on a galvanized pipe is zinc, and a piece of copper, and add water, and you get a battery.
That's right.
And,
yuck. Okay, so I'm going to have to try and find a way to get through.
Probably
there.
You're going to have to get in there, because it sounds as though somebody may have hooked this thing up without a dielectric union.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the special fitting for hooking copper pipe to galvanized pipe.
Okay. And would you recommend, if I cut a hole in there, can I replace that with a door that's made of drywall?
Drywall or wood or finish off, whatever, yeah.
Okay.
No problem.
All right, well, thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
We have one caller waiting and several lines open. And the number, again, around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll-free elsewhere, 800-222-9455. And we'll get you on pretty quick. Next up, someone in Mattoon, line number two. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
The way my house is laid out, the kitchen just is open into the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
And currently the kitchen has a linoleum floor. The dining room has a carpet. The carpet just dies with a brass trim strip. Tack strip up there.
Yes.
I want to put down a new tile floor this summer and was planning on laying a quarter-inch underlayment once I peeled off the old linoleum.
Mm-hmm.
And I suddenly realized that if I do that, I'm going to have a quarter-inch difference in the height of my floor. Is there any way to transition that smoothly?
Generally speaking, you can use a tapered wood strip there. Or, again, you can use the same kind of a metal strip, a slightly different contour, but they make them for that kind of thing. And just use essentially the same type of metal strip that you have now, except it will be shaped slightly differently.
All righty. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call. We have a couple callers joining us, one from Urbana on line number one next. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Is this me?
Yes, it is.
I have a general question about filters in gas furnaces. I know the furnace has filters in it. How about filters in the registers? And are they supposed to be in the ones where the heat comes up or the ones where the heat returns or both?
I'd stick with the one in the furnace.
And not bother with the others?
Not bother with the others at all.
Okay, thank you.
Now, there are various efficiencies and types of filters.
Mm-hmm.
If you have internet access, go to my website, hankspees.com, and there will be an article in there describing the various types of filters and what they do.
But this is safe with just the ones in the furnace.
Absolutely.
And I have a checkup every fall.
Yep, that's fine. Well, you're going to need to change the filters oftener than that, probably.
Oh. And the householder is supposed to do that, huh?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Thank you for your advice. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, the filter is pretty important to change. Now, I remember we talked about this a couple months ago, and see, we have this filter. I know, in fact, we had you inspect our house, so I think you may remember. Is this big 4-inch thick thing?
Mm-hmm.
How often does that need to be changed?
That's usually good for at least a year, yeah. Oftentimes two.
That's good because it's about $40 a piece. So.
$30 anyway.
Yeah.
Yes, those should be good for 1 to 2 years, depending on whether you have pets that clog them with cat hair and this kind of thing. Very often, if you have a filter of that kind, you can put one of the 69-cent ones in front of it to catch the dust mice, and then the other one lasts a lot longer.
Oh, okay. That's a good tip. And the reason you want to change the filter is it will reduce the efficiency of your furnace.
It reduces the airflow, and that will reduce the efficiency of both the furnace and air conditioner.
Yeah.
Because we've got to have a reasonable amount of airflow through the system for it to work properly.
Very good.
And we have opened some up, and we're wondering why the system worked at all, or not sure that it did, because it looked as though it wasn't a filter, it was a layer of felt.
Well, our lines are all full, so let's go on and talk with some more callers. Next up is a listener in Urbana, line number 3. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a new faucet. It's got wrist blades, which I wanted because my wrists are injured. It's beautiful. It's heavy duty. But it doesn't mix the hot and cold water well. When the hot comes on very strong and keeps getting stronger, and the cold doesn't mix in with it. Sometimes you can feel the cold running out with the hot when you have them both on. Is there anything that I can do about that?
I would guess you've got a problem with the faucet. Something, the washers or something are not settling in correctly or something, because as long as they're both coming out of the same spout, it should work unless you've got a piece of crud caught in one in the cold one someplace.
I see. It's got a cartridge instead of washers.
Okay. I'm wondering if there is something that came in the pipes and is partially blocking.
Okay.
That cartridge.
In the pipes.
It could be in the pipes. You remember that the local water system uses a sand filter as the final filter before it goes out. And occasionally a little sand gets in the pipes, and if you end up with sand in your cartridge or partially blocking something, it's not going to work right until it gets cleaned out.
I see. Can the maintenance man in the apartment do that?
I would think so.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks for the call. Next up, a listener in Tuscola, line number 2. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Hi, good morning. I'm from Tuscola. I have a problem in my basement that the mortar, first of all, the basement is built out of bricks, and there's mortar between the bricks, of course. And under periods of heavy rain, we have a high hydrostatic pressure in the ground because the water the ground has absorbed a lot of water. The water spurts out of the mortar between the bricks. Now, what can I do about that?
Get the water away from the outside of the house.
Well, that's not that easy because the water is all over. The ground is completely saturated.
I don't know what it is or not. Generally speaking, as I mentioned to a previous caller, nearly always the water problem in a basement is caused by the water from your own roof.
Well, I understand that, but I have an overhanging roof that overhangs about a foot and a half.
Yeah, but how much slope is there on the soil from the foundation out?
Well, it's not a tremendous amount. It's almost flat.
Well, okay, that's your problem. You're going to need to either put some dirt there to make the water run away.
Okay.
Or the other alternative is to dig a shallow trench, line it with plastic, put a perforated tile in it that goes out to some open drain somewhere, and so that any water on the surface will run into that trench and be carried away. Now, I don't use gutters on my house. As a matter of fact, I did exactly that. I dug this 8-inch deep trench under the drip line from the roof. lined it with plastic, put a perforated tile in it, backfilled it with gravel so that all the water drips off into the gravel, into the tile, and goes back out to the drain.
Okay, well, I understand what you're saying. That sounds very good. I suppose there's nothing I can do on the inside to help.
Well, it will help some if you use one of the waterproofing, quote-unquote, paints. But generally speaking, if you've got that much pressure, you've got to get rid of the water.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for the call. It's that gravity thing that'll get you.
Every time.
Yeah. Well, and water is just such a powerful thing.
Yes.
That you can't block it with just, you know, brick or paint or anything.
No. And generally speaking, even though you have gutters on your house, a good portion of the time they're running over, either because they're partially blocked with all of the leaves and other crud that shows up there. And the other is the fact that we get, at various times, rained at extremely high rates such that no gutter system that you can afford to install will ever carry it away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to be that the window and door manufacturers designed their product to withstand a rainfall at a rate of 5 inches an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said, well, we never get 5 inches an hour. That's true, but Stan Chagnon, when he was here with the State Water Survey, proved that for 1 or 2 minutes, we get rainfall rates as high as 15 inches an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no gutter system you can put on a house that will take care of that.
Yeah.
So we've got to get that water away.
We've got several callers waiting, and we're a little past our midpoint here with Hank Spies of the Spies Home Inspection Service in Champaign, taking your questions on home maintenance and home improvement. One line open right now, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. We'll go next to Alyssa in Lafayette on line number 4. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes.
A question that I'd raised before concerning more dust than I expected because I have electronic filters on the register.
Mm-hmm.
Something that has occurred to me, I looked up in a couple of registers once in a while, and I saw what seemed like gray tinfoil rattling in there. And I think the answer must be ash from the burner. Is that possible?
Well, it's possible, but not if the burner is venting properly.
Mm-hmm.
The foil may be, if you have flexible duct, the foil would be a liner.
No, nothing like that.
Nothing in there. I have no idea where this foil would have come from.
Well, it isn't foil, but it could very well have been compressed ash, a sort of gray silver, and very, very delicate.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, there's a possibility of that, and the other is the possibility that if you're using a humidifier, that this could be minerals left over when the water evaporates.
Okay, that's possible. I do.
Okay, that's probably it, because anytime you're evaporating the water, any minerals that are dissolved get left back as a powder.
Okay, and that's, I take it, unavoidable.
Pretty much so.
Okay. Other question. In our church, in which the main auditorium is probably 40 or 50 feet high up to the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of the interior walls up there don't have the brick in, they're made of brick, but instead of the courses staggered as we're used to them, they're straight away.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of that?
Well, it shouldn't make any great difference. As long as there's no horizontal force against them.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with stacked bond brick as versus the standard running bond brick.
I agree.
But basically, as long as there's no horizontal force against it, it doesn't make much difference.
Okay. Well, the church has stood for many a decade, so I guess guess that's right. But it is a very strange sight.
Yeah. Well, they had do that. They were into decorative brickwork that long ago, and they did it for appearance sake.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for the call. And a couple callers waiting, a couple lines open. We'll go next to listener in Champaign, line number one. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, I painted a deck last year, and I used the top-of-the-line product. It hadn't been painted before, and I put two coats on it, and now it's faded this year. I wonder, did I just use the wrong product? It was supposed to be, it was Cabot, but it's supposed to be a top-of-the-line product. Can you have any insights in this?
Okay, did you use paint or stain?
Semi-transparent stain.
Semi-transparent stain. That's only good for at the most 2 years.
Right.
Even the really good stuff. It does fade. We have a combination of weathering and sunlight. Trying to color a deck is probably the hardest thing we ask any coating to do. And I do have an article on that written by one of the engineers at the Forest Products Lab. If you will give me a call at my office and give me your name and address, I will ship it off to you.
Okay, thanks a lot. But this was less than 1 year, not even one whole summer, hardly.
Well,
doesn't that seem under specifications or under like their tolerance? Mm.
I would expect to get at least 1, usually 2 years out of a semi-transparent, although the semi-transparents won't hold their color anywhere near as long as a solid color stain.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, I wanted to follow up on that. We've got a deck that's just plain wood. It's not stained or anything. And you suggested that it'll last a lot longer if you hit it with a preservative every once in a while.
With a water repellent.
Water repellent, yeah. Yes. How often would you want to do
that? Every couple of years.
Every 2 years, okay. Okay, good to know. We have one caller waiting and plenty of time for others. If you would like to join us, we're talking with Hank Spies of the Spies Home Inspection Service, talking about home repair, maintenance, improvement, those kinds of things. You can join us by calling around Champaign-Urbana at 333-9455. Toll-free elsewhere, 800-222-9455. Next up, someone in Champaign, line number three. Good morning. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, that's you.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, hello? Yes. Hello, yes. What's your question?
My question is, I bought this house about a year ago, and it got a crossbase in it. There is a kind of dump smell coming up to a living area, and I crawled through the crossbase, and there is only two vents on the west end of the house for that crossbase. Don't you think I should need a couple more somewhere on a right angle on the either north or south end of the house?
Well, the most important question is there a layer of plastic over the dirt surface in the crawlspace?
Yes, there is. There is.
Okay. Is there any sign of water getting on top of or under that plastic?
Yes, there is water coming in, which I have to control it out.
Okay.
But still, don't I need another vent or at right angle from the existing ones to maintain
proper
airflow?
The code would require it. However, crawl space vents are probably overrated. The main thing is to keep the water out. And that's where your problem is coming from. Now, is this soaking through the foundation, coming between the foundation and the footing, or is it coming in the vents?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's a kind of what you're saying is I don't need more vents.
You don't need more vents. We need to get rid of the water.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Better to stop the water from getting in than try to get it out, right?
Yes, yeah. Very much so.
Yeah.
We don't want it evaporating. I've lost track of how many hundreds of crawl space vents I've seen where the water was coming in the vents.
Yeah, well.
And so to a great extent, we're back to our grading of the house around the outside again.
Okay.
And as long as the plastic is there and covering the entire soil surface, that should be enough.
Okay, well, let's take our next question from someone in Ashmore on line number one. Good morning, you're on Focus 580.
Yes, good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question about a well that is not functional, about 30 feet deep and 6 feet wide, and I want to make a cistern out of it and bring the lines from the roof into a filler bed and then into the cistern. And the problem is that I think I need to do something about its brick wall. It's probably 80 years old, something like that. It's a very old one. And I need something to know how to stick on to plaster or to cover the brick on the inside. And I talked to a mason, and he suggested that I use a mortar with some latex in it, and I don't know where to get the latex.
Well, that's not a problem. However, I don't think that the state plumbing codes will allow you to do that.
Oh, all right.
And I think that your local sanitary district will have some very nasty things to tell you about running surface water into what is obviously once was connected to the aquifer.
Well, they had done it a long time ago, and there's, it has a concrete bottom in it. Nothing's coming in it.
Okay, well,
put a concrete bottom in it, and I'm just going to redo the pipe to it off the drainage pipe.
Okay, well, there are some very specific state regulations on sealing old wells that you you have to correspond with that first.
Yeah.
Then, yes, you can use a latex additive to a mortar. That would probably help. You might also want to consider the possibility of lining it with plastic.
Lining it with plastic?
Yes.
I never thought of that. That's a very good idea. Like you do a foundation?
Right. You go in with some black 6 mil or heavier plastic and liner, and water's not going to get through it.
That's right. That's a good idea. I didn't thought of that. Well, it's been done. They have used it this way. I got the house about 5 years ago. House was built in 1889, and the people that had this set up with a filtering system, but through charcoal and sand before it gets in there.
Well, and, that will keep most of the stuff out. Yes, I realize that. But as I say, the estate has some very specific...
Well, I'll have to contact the local office.
...regulations regarding sealing off old wells, particularly right. dug wells.
Yeah, okay. Well, I can do that. But I appreciate that. Now, the latex, how do I buy it? In a packet, or does it come in a liquid? Or
It will usually be as a powder that you mix with it. But as I say, you may do well with a single sheet of plastic. You know, you can get plastic in sizes up to 40 by 100 feet
right.
in one piece. You go in there right. and line it with plastic, and it's not going to go anywhere.
That sounds good. Well, listen, thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, bye. And good luck. We have about 15 minutes left with Hank Spies taking your questions on home maintenance. One caller waiting, plenty of time for others. If you'd like to join us, we'll get you in pretty quick. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. And next up is someone in Urbana, line number 4. Good morning.
Hi, this is Atlanta. And
oh.
This is line number 4.
Okay.
This is probably, I probably know some of the answers to this, but you might have a better idea. I've got an unattached garage to the house that's buried 4.5 feet into the hill, and the house is about 25 years old. Well, after about the first 3 or 4 years, that wall on that garage started to move. The garage is it's a three-stall garage, so it's about 30-something feet long, and it's a block wall. And at that time, I thought I had driven a tractor, which I had done right up next to the wall and had moved it because it hadn't been there very long, and the insurance company agreed to repair it. But now, 20 years later, that wall has moved about 3/4 inch into the garage, and it's leaning at about, it's moved about a 5-degree lean, so not real bad, but you could tell it is leaning. So I'm going to have to repair it again, and I just wondered if you had any ideas.
Well, how did you repair it the first time?
Well, the first time the original contractor came out, and they put, since I thought I had done it with the tractor, we didn't do anything different. We just jacked up the garage, and the same old block wall back, and which was a mistake. But at that time, I was sure that I'd caused the problem because really, you know, that isn't. It's only 4.5 feet deep.
Yeah, but an eight inch concrete block wall, that's not really enough.
Yeah, I see that now. You're right.
So what we really needed to do was to have run some half inch rebar in about every other second or third core, and then grouted them full.
Mm-hmm.
and hooked it up that way. Now, at this point, it will probably be necessary to drill through the hole, set some steel seed channels against that wall, and reinforce it in that way. If you can hook them to the structure of the garage, that's desirable. The other option would be if you could stand some fin walls, say between cars, a wall that is extending into the garage 2 or 3 feet. You can take a shoot of pressure treated bottom plate to the concrete slab, go up with 2x4s and all the way to the framing up to the top plate, nail and glue plywood to both sides of it, contour it to fit where it's going, and this makes an extremely strong wood beam that is going to be very difficult to push in.
Okay, so then I'm really creating a wall here that the outside wall is going to be pushing against, and it'll be attached to the floor and to the ceiling, and hence that wall shouldn't move any further.
Right.
Okay, that would be, now that means I won't dig it all up again and everything.
You said
put some steel channels on the inside.
Well, that would be the steel channels. If you can't stand the wall, the steel channels work. If you can put up with the wall, and generally speaking, something 2 feet deep to give you some built-in storage, put shelves between them or something or other.
Mm-hmm.
You can get enough strength, and it's usually less expensive to do it with wood than with steel.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like a very good idea, and I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay, thanks for the call. Next up, someone in Urbana on line number one. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Yeah. Hank, I've got a motorhome that has been had cigarette smoking in for years, and I'm trying to clean the inside of this thing. And I don't think anything but real trisodium phosphate is going to do the job. And where can you get real TSP?
Oh, it's readily available. Soilax is TSP.
Soilax?
Soilax, yes.
S-O-I-L-E-X?
S-O-I-L-A-X.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay, that's a tricky problem, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been involved with a number of these things of trying to get rid of tobacco tar and smoke.
Oh, yeah.
And this sort of thing. Sometimes on metal surfaces we use some pretty potent solvents. I used to use the stuff we used to clean up printing presses when somebody let the ink dry on them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
I once bought a house that had a refrigerator, and we thought it was a gold refrigerator, and we started cleaning it. It wasn't.
How about that? Well, we have just about maybe 10 minutes left and a couple callers. Let's try to include them and others if you'd like to join us in the remaining time. Probably have time for some more if you'd like to call us, 333-9455, 800-222-9455. Another Urbana caller, line number one next. Good morning.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Last fall, I installed a new furnace and air conditioning system along with an electronic cleaner. And I've been having quite a bit of problem with allergy-like symptoms this spring. It's especially prominent when I'm at home rather than when I'm at work or outside. And over the weekend, I noticed collected on a surface, the lavatory surface in the bathroom, a lot of dust, which I didn't expect to be there since it had been cleaned rather thoroughly in the last 2 weeks. And I've collected the dust, and I was wondering if you had any idea where I might have this looked at to see what's in it.
There's a firm here in town called HDC Engineering that does some of that.
Okay.
With an electronic filter, if your filter is working,
yeah,
it should not be coming through the heating system.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I sort of tested it by putting a little pinch of baking soda in the airstream, and it caused the filter to snap as it would with a large particle going through it. And so I concluded it was working.
Well, I don't know quite what you're getting or from where, but
okay.
As I say, I think they may be able to help you.
HDAC.
HDC Engineering.
HDC. Okay, right. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the call. One thing that you mentioned earlier is the infiltration of air from outside. If you're drawing air from outside, maybe that's increasing the load in the system? Would that maybe?
Well, yes, it could, and that this is high pollen season,
yeah.
So there's no question. So that if you have any windows open, you're asking for it.
Mm-hmm. And especially if you have like a
an exhaust fan.
Exhaust fan, attic fan, that kind of
right.
thing, drawing air into the house.
That definitely can do it.
Okay. Well, our lines are all full. Let's go on and include as many people as we can. Next up, line two, someone in Champaign. Good morning.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Thanks for taking my call. We anticipate having a new roof installed, and the roofer said that we did not need the metal stripping. I forget what it's called under the edge of the roof, that there would be a drip edge. Is that right?
I'd find another roofer.
Okay. So what is that called?
It is a metal drip edge.
Drip edge, okay.
Right. And there should be a drip edge and a rake edge. The drip edge along the bottom edge, the rake edge along the gable ends.
Okay. And what's the purpose of it? Just a drip edge?
Well, okay. The underlayment and shingles should go on top of the drip edge so the water cannot get under it to the edge of the roof, and that drip edge should extend into the back of the gutter so the water cannot get behind the gutter. On the outside edges, then the drip edge is nailed on top of the underlayment and is basically to keep water from being blown back in under the shingles.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do not want water getting into the wood of the roof.
Right. We don't want to get it under the shingles, and I can't imagine doing this without a metal grip edge.
Yeah. Very good. Well, let's go on and include another Urbana listener next on line number three. Good morning.
Hi. I wanted to get rid of some textured ceilings. And I'm just wondering, is that easy enough, something I could do myself? Do I need to hire somebody?
Well, a lot depends on what kind of texture you have and what it was. If this is one of these so-called popcorn ceilings,
yes.
Spray it with water and scrape it off.
Really?
That's
okay.
heck of a mess, but it does.
Okay.
And you may have to do a little bit more drywall work after all the stuff was put up there to cover usually a rather poor drywall job.
Okay. That's great, great to know. Okay. All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call. We'll go on next to someone in Tuscola on line number four. Good morning.
Yes, my question, I have a slab that over the years is tilted back toward my basement, and I've heard that you can drill holes in the concrete and then pump concrete in there and raise that slab back up.
That's correct.
Can that be done?
Yes.
Is that an expensive
Well, generally speaking, the firms that I usually use here in Champaign have a minimum charge of $250 or $300, among other things, mainly to get all their equipment out there.
I see.
But
okay.
Yes, you can, called mud jacking, and many concrete contractors have that ability available. There is one in Champaign, I don't really works out that far or not, but probably does, called Ross Concrete Raising. I know there's at least one other that is not at the tip of my tongue, but they have that facility available.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks for the call. We have one caller waiting and probably time for others. If you'd like to join us real quick, 333-9455 or 800-222-9455. Next up, someone in Lawrence County, line number one. Good morning.
Good morning. About 5 years ago, we had a new roof installed on our house, three-tab asphalt shingles. And I noticed the corners of the tabs are slightly turning up at this time. Would that be a warranty problem or any problem?
Well, it's somewhat of a problem. Is this the second layer of shingles? Or third, or
no? This was a stripped off job.
Okay. I suspect that you are getting a moisture problem in the attic. Your house on a basement or crawl space?
No, it's on a basement, and there's pretty good ventilation in the attic.
Okay, Well, that should take care of it. It could be a warranty problem, but usually curling shingles are a matter of the air in the attic either being too hot or too moist.
Uh-huh.
And I would doubt very much that it's usually the warranty problems come when we start losing granules off the shingles.
Yeah.
And that'll be a warranty problem.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks for the call. Well, we have actually a couple minutes left if someone wants to join us real quick with a question. Otherwise, I'll ask a couple of my own, which I never get to do on the show. We were talking about plumbing. Somebody called in with a question about plumbing, and it sounded like they had stainless steel pipe wetted to a copper pipe causing that.
Galvanized steel.
Yes, that's right, galvanized steel. Recently I discovered that we have a PVC pipe coming upstairs, and mm-hmm. our plumber was indicating that would not be his preference for the kind of plumbing to use. Can you talk about, we go through different periods of when we think that, you know, one kind of pipe works better than another, and then we find out it doesn't.
There's nothing really wrong with PVC pipe as long as the plumber that's putting it in knows how to use it.
Uh-huh.
Now, the one type of plastic pipe that we do have a problem with is polybutylene, which is a gray, relatively flexible plastic pipe. There have been a lot of problems with that. It's no longer being sold, as far as I know. Lots of leak problems with it, primarily because the connectors for it were not properly designed. Occasionally, we actually got a leak in the pipe, but mostly it was a leak at the connectors. Someone in formulating the plastic forgot to realize that most public water supplies have chlorine in them. The plastic was not resistant to chlorine. And so we found most of these in manufactured housing. So occasionally we'll run into this in a house, but very rarely. There's nothing at all wrong with PVC pipe.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to stop there since we're out of time. Our guest, once again, Hank Spies of the Spies Home Inspection Service. And he joins us once a month on the third Monday to take your questions. His website, by the way, if you'd like to look at a lot of good information he's got there, hankspies.com. And Hank, thanks so much for being here.
You're very welcome.
Today's broadcast is made possible in part by Eastern Rug Gallery, offering a wide selection of guaranteed hand-knotted Oriental and Persian rugs of every size and color combination, from new to antique, to complement any decor. Eastern Rug Gallery, 1402 South Neal Street in Champaign. AM 580 thanks Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors for its support of Focus 580. Overhead Doors is pleased to support public radio in Central Illinois on behalf of its customers and business associates.
That's it for this hour, Focus 580. We'll take a short break. When we return in about maybe 6-7 minutes, we'll be talking with Ben Bagdikian about his newest book on the consolidation of media ownership. The title is The New Media Monopoly. It's a completely revised and updated edition with 7 new chapters. He'll join us after just a short bit of news and a market update. Stay tuned.
And with this update on the markets at 10:59, I'm Jay Pierce. Good morning. Well, if you look at the wheat contract on the Chicago Board of Trade, we see July at 365.